This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 21st of March, 1962. The title of this lecture is Object of Prep Checking. This tape is 63 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
How you doing tonight?
Good.
All right.
All right.
How you doing?
Bad. Okay. This is the vernal equinox of AD 12. March the 21st, for those who are un-Chaldean. If you've never had a past life in Chaldea, it's March the 21st. And if you've never had a past life in England, you ever had past life in England?
Yeah.
Every time an American goes down to the tower to sightsee, I always like to see them as they come out. They're always going like this, you know? I never knew they had that many executioners at the tower. Okay. Now, you saw a demonstration last night. I'll make a comment on that before we get into the lecture. That was a very neat demonstration. Very neat. You saw the PC trying to give me a lose. Didn't even faze me, you know. I was fine. And I think the class thanks you, too. We're going to find the other item you wanted. But let me call to your attention a phenomenon which is very interesting here. And if you don't mind my making a comment. It's just that a PC's attention on the goals problem mass can become so tied up and so concentrated on some portion of the goals problem mass that they don't recognize that it has 40 or 50 combinations in it. And trying to get the PC's attention off of the last combination you found and onto the next combination you found sometimes has to be done with building jacks. And you saw that particular phenomenon. The PC did not like letting go of some units that belong to the last part of the GPM we found, don't you think? But remember, this is characteristic of the GPM. It's areas of stuck attention upon identities. And the PC ordinarily runs through this cycle. They didn't want it. And then they think it's fine. See? They're sometimes thunderstruck and delighted with the horror of it all. But it takes them a little time for their attention to settle down into these. But sometimes some items you get are hotter than others. Sometimes they explain more to the PC than others. But you have a tremendous number of items before you get down to the middle of the goals problem mass. And that, of course, is the last one, the last ones that the PC finds. And they will be 20 or 30 combinations deep. You see, 3D crisscross bypasses and cuts through the running of items. And it simply goes on selecting items, finding items, and by the process of finding them, getting the bank down to the point of what's holding the bank together. And that is a rather difficult proposition because it's sometimes almost over the PC's dead body. You see? In fact, I would go so far as to say it is over his last few hundred thousand dead bodies. Fortunately, there are only a few of these items which are remarkable. The PC has probably been, in actuality, any item he ever puts on a list. You realize that? We're only trying to find the items he's stuck with. And by the fact of listing, you get rid of 50 or 100 items at a crack, you see? Because they key out easily. But then you get the one that doesn't key out. Well, that's the goals problem mass item, see? All these others are simply locks on that. Now, of course, What's holding the one in that's going tick, 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 tick consistently? Well, that'll be a deeper, more basic combination. So you can go elsewhere in the goals problem mass, and you pull out a few more pins and hinges, and don't be too surprised if items that checked out, when you go to run them, haven't got a twitch in them. Okay. Don't be too surprised. They're not going to go on ticking forever. Some of them are. Only when you run the central package are you going to get rid of some of them. But the most horrifying ones that the PC finds early on are liable to blow as locks. So bad, they really explain his whole case, and he's right there, and everything is fine, and the masses move around, and the chills turn on, and if you were to run them, they would run quite satisfactorily. And then you move on a little bit deeper in the case, and these others cease to be that important. And you go on deeper, and you get these earlier items that were so important. The intensifying is important. But it's an interesting thing that the reason an auditor trying to do routine three was trying to do it and failing so often, and that it was so difficult to do, sometimes getting 1,300 goals and things of this character, you know, was because routine three is a much better, in terms of quality, but not in terms of length of time of running or accuracy or easy on the PC, and it certainly guarantees no accuracy. If you can't supervise the auditing and cross-check it and get the rudiments checked, and oh my, it's a very difficult and complicated action to get a routine three goal and then get its terminal. But what do you know? If you get a routine three goal, it is really a goal and sticks there, and then the terminal, and it really sticks there. Do you know that after you've run or found 10 or 12 items of routine 3D crisscross, that you'll start colliding with the original routine 3 package? That was how deep routine 3 went into the bank. In other words, routine 3, if it could be done, was a very accurate method and reached very deeply into the goals problem mass and reached very significantly deeply into the case. Well, routine 3D crisscross exists because auditors found this very hard to do. And if it was done inaccurately, it was absolute suicide for the PC to run it. It was deadly. It's worse than taking arsenic. You get the wrong terminal, man. Oh, wow. And then run it. Oof. Well, in routine 3D crisscross, you can sort it out and sort it out. What I did, actually, I won't go into detail because this isn't a lecture on this subject. But I just found about 40 doors where we only had one door. There were several reasons, as you can learn in earlier lectures, there are several reasons why we stopped doing routine 3. And routine 3D crisscross, of course, keeps affording all these doors. I don't wish to discourage your accuracy. But frankly, if you're only indifferently accurate, why, you will eventually wind up in the middle of the goals problem mass by just the law of averages. See? And when you really got all the way down, of course, it'll run like a startled deer and everything is fine. You see? It's a much handier one to use, much better to use, and the PC shows continuous progress all the way through running it. They're a bit different, but they oddly enough wound up with the same goal. I merely wanted to make this comment on old routine 3. It was auditory accuracy or inaccuracy that defeated it, rather than it wasn't arriving. Because, man, that really arose when it arose. Okay, so you take somebody who was done on routine 3, and then you take routine 3D crisscross, and they're always just a little bit dissatisfied with some of their items coming up. They haven't quite got the punch that their original routine 3 package had. And that was to some degree what you were looking at last night in that session, because of course we were in contest with a routine 3 item which is much more fundamental on the case than the item we found, don't you think? But by finding more and more items, we will eventually find one which is much more fundamental than the routine three item that we found. We'll go that much further. See, just as in routine three, you had to do another assessment, you know, and find more items. Well, in routine 3D crisscross, you just keep on finding items, of course, and you get much more fundamental items than the original routine 3 item, just as you did in routine 3. Okay? Help you understand that? I know you probably disagreed, most of you, with my meter reading. But did you... I want to make a comment on that. If you'll watch me reading meters, you should be... notice one thing, that I'm not reading a meter on the basis of a bulletin. I'm being very careful of the PC. Have you noticed that? Yeah. I'm very, very careful of the PC. And you should notice, too, that on a routine 3D crisscross set of rudiments and so on, I'm only looking for the instantaneous read. And if I don't get an instantaneous read on that rudiment, I don't fool with it. That's mostly for the newcomers. Yeah, don't fool with it, man. Because when you're doing routine 3D crisscross, you're supposed to be doing routine 3D crisscross. You're not supposed to be straightening out with holes and everything else. Now, a way to defeat auditing is while doing a routine 3D crisscross session, do nothing but prep check under the guise of getting in the rudiments. And then the other way to defeat it, which is what we get to tonight's lecture, is when doing prep checking, don't ever find any withholds. Now, if you can just manage this, nothing will happen with the PC, and nothing will ever be revealed. But if you, just as a further comment on that session, you should notice that I just don't take any chances with the PC from the standpoint of meter reading. If it bings 1 in 3, why, I leave it in. And if I've got a question about it, I'm not so tied to the ritual that I don't find out whether or not it's still in or not. I go on and find out if it's in. You notice that? And you notice when we really found the item itself, it was going pop, pop, pop. This is nice. Wasn't that beautiful? Pop, pop, pop. And the PC saying, well, I don't know, it doesn't have anything to do with me, and so forth. Pop, pop, pop. Nothing else around there was going pop, pop, pop. Remember the horse came up and knocked out the polar bear. Thought that was interesting. We had a rock-slamming polar bear up at the moment the horse came up. PC said, I think there's another item. It's a horse. Fine, that was the end of the polar bear. And it's just puzzled me ever since. The dramatic scene which I can pick up about horses and polar bears, they don't quite mix up, you know? But anyway, that was the way it went. All right, enough of that. This, in essence, is a lecture on... I could be very smoothly and finish this off, you see, as a lecture on Grohl's problem mass, you see, and then do the other one on prep checking. But my mind right now is on you and the sins and crimes which you were committing under the heading of prep checking. And I want to set you right in a hurry. So this is actually a lecture about prep checking. And I want to give you some data on the subject of prep checking, which you probably do not have yet. And one is, the object of prep checking is to find chains of withholds and release them on the PC's case. Now, I want you to get that data and so on. I don't think it's been in any bulletins or anything. I probably omitted giving you this data. But it's the object of prep checking, you see, is to find chains of withholds and relieve them on the PC's case, you see. You got that. It's a new datum. Because when I look over your what questions, or when I looked them over last night, after the air was no longer blue, I sat there and held my head in my hands for a few minutes sighed deeply, and then threw it all overboard and audited Herbie. That was after the session, I think. That was a good session. You missed the real good session last night. That was the good one. Anyhow, the datum which you're missing about prep checking is that you don't ask a what question until you have a specific withhold delivered into your lap by the PC. Your what questions are all your zero A questions. Now, the way you're prep checking is your what questions, what you're listing as what questions, are actually zero A questions or zero B questions. And in any folder I picked up last night, I did not find a single what question. I found nothing but zero A, zero B questions. Isn't that interesting? And on a little further inquiry, I understood what was wrong. And that is, you're not waiting till you get a crashing, smashing, nice withhold right on the button before you ask the what question. Now, the zero A, the zero question, gives you a huge generality. Your zero A, well, that gives you slightly less generality. You could have a zero B that gave you a little less generality. But I'll give you an example. I says to this girl once, I says, I don't think you're beautiful, so I've damaged the beauty of women. And so on, and I think I did that, and so forth. All right. Well, what about damaging the beauty of women? And we probably don't even look at that first withhold he just gave us anymore. But go racing and call out a what question. What about damaging the beauty of women? One. With great triumph, you see the odd puts down one. What about damaging the beauty of women? Oh, thank you. No. That's a zero question. A zero A or a zero B, don't you think? Now, from that, you get this generality. Let me give you a better example, more definite. Well, the fellow says, I've often disconcerted women. Okay? I've often disconcerted women. And the auditor hastily puts down, one, what about disconcerting women? See, these are all wrong ways of doing it. Well, I just disconcerted them. That's good. Oh, you disconcerted them, huh? Yeah, well, all right, that's fine. When did you disconcert them? Oh, the last few lifetimes. All right, that's good. Think that's flat now? All right, that's fine. That's no. It isn't registering anymore. Wasn't registering in the first place. So we finally cleaned up that withhold, didn't we? Well, now, I just wish to tell you, that is wrong. And I wish to plead with you to see the error of your ways and repent, because the kingdom of heaven is not at hand for any PC that you do that to. You haven't even really gone so far as to miss a withhold. And you know, I think that's wading pretty shallow in the PC's bank. Now let me show you this. Through chitter chatter, metering, analysis, assessment, anything of that sort, through anything of that kind, we find out that this person has been making a habit of disconcerting women. So that's a zero A. What about hating sex was the zero from which we came out.
or something of the sort. Or what about sex? Or why haven't you liked sex? Or we don't care what it is, but it had something to do with a whole dynamic, you know. And we pulled it down to the fact that he was disconcerting women. Well, that is just a zero A, and you're going to have lots of those. And you can put that down by any way that you arrived at it, we don't care. You can go ahead and do it just the way you've been doing it, but don't think you're yet in the withholds of the bank. You're not. You're just at some high generality of some kind or another. Because what you've got to do now is go ahead and get the PC into a specific overt, a specific clawing, screaming, acting overt. Not a, I thought an unkind thought about God. No, we don't buy that sort of thing. No, disconcerting women, all right. You got to go at it this way. This is not a what question, even though it begins with what. What's this about disconcerting women? You ever disconcert one? He said, well, I don't know, lots of them, you know, I just thousands of them, and so on. Over the last few lifetimes, I've been disconcerting an awful lot of women, as a matter of fact. And you say, well, good, well, one time when you did. Oh, well, one time when I did, there's lots of times when I did, you see. That's fine. Good. Well, just one time. How would you go about disconcerting one? Oh, I don't know, scratching her eyes out or something like that and so on. Oh, you see now, there you'd go with a wrong what, you see. Oh, well, that person, you see, you got a suspicious what, you know. You got just a suspicion there might be a what there, so you say, what about scratching women's eyes, you know, just because you've had a tickle. Oh, no. Lay off of it. Just put your paper aside until you've done some work. Then you can write it all up and brag to me about how good you are at this sort of thing, but only after you've done it, you see. Your paper, you haven't got anything to do with your paper or anything. You just, you and the PC, we don't even really care whether we're doing too much with the meter at this stage, you know. He says, well, that's just metaphorically speaking. I, as a matter of fact, probably never have scratched any women's eyes. That's just, you know, that's the old cliche, scratch your eyes out. I could scratch her eyes out. I suppose I've said that a time or two, or women have said it to me. And so forth. You just leave that paper alone and leave your ballpoint alone. Don't come in close to this. Now, you haven't got a what question yet. You understand me? And we finally say, well, now, scratching women's eyes, it goes clang, see? You say, any time when you've ever done this, any time when you've ever done that, some past life, somewhere. No, any time you've ever done that, you know, scratching women's eyes, any time you ever really have done that. No. I hit a woman. I hit a woman in the eye once. I hit her in the eye. All right. See, you weren't quite on. See, you weren't quite on with scratching eyes out or something like that. But hitting a woman in the eye, that was something else. Now you can still make a little notation. If you're going to make any notations or you can't remember it, put it over here in the margin someplace that you did get a reaction on scratching eyes. But the only overt you can find on this to which the PC will stand up before the judge and plead guilty is punching a woman in the eye. But we want to find out if he can remember it, and if it happened, and so forth. So he finally said, well, yes, she was instructing in the academy, and I punched her in the eye. And that's right. Now, what about punching a woman in the eye? Now you have your what? And you write it down there. One, what about punching women in the eye? It's probably the best phrasing for it. See? You're going to get a knock on that, too. Now you want to know when it was. And you want to know if that's all. And you want to know if what might have appeared at that moment. Your new four. You want to know who didn't find out about it, who failed to discover it, so forth. Who was hiding it from, any way you want to phrase it. And then you ask him, when was it? This thing is knocking like mad, you see. It's taming down, though. And was that all of it? And what didn't appear at the time? Okay. Run your plus and minus is, not is thing. What didn't appear at the time? And then who failed to find out about it? And so on. And, you know, this thing isn't cooling off worth a nickel. Now, this is how you tell, see? This thing is just not cooling off. Well, there's several ways to handle it. The most accusative way, and probably the most needless early on, is to find out if PC's telling you a half-truth or an untruth about the thing. But that's relatively needless. No, look, the anatomy of change demonstrates that if that thing didn't cool off on a couple of rounds of when all appear who, he has done it before. Now get the idea of dramatization and habit pattern. If last year somebody socked a woman in the eye, you can absolutely guarantee that year before last he socked a woman in the eye. And you can also guarantee that it'll go clean back to kindergarten. Because that's what you do. You see? That's natural and normal. And that's why that withhold won't free. And now you just put your ballpoint aside and leave your auditor's report over there as far as any what questions are concerned. You can put down all of your tone arm reads and your times and so forth, but don't you do anything to that one question because you haven't run it yet. You found one withhold before you got it. See, you found one overt and a withhold right there, bang. Now you're going to ask for an earlier one. Now that's the magic words. You want an earlier incident when he socked a woman in the eye. And you're going to run that one back, and you're going to find that there's an earlier one, and so forth. And he says, well, no, I really never socked a woman in the eye, the needle is falling off the pin, but I kicked one in the shins once. Now, I will permit you at that time to pick up your overt, and if it's not working very well, ballpoint pens and overts, have you noticed that they don't write on greasy auditor's reports and so forth. They're always letting you down. So you can go over here on the margin and you can write, kicked woman in shin. Understand? Kicked woman in shin. You can write that down here on the margin someplace. We don't care where you wrote it. It's just a notation to you. It has nothing to do with your withhold system. Because that's a Q&A to leave that what question you got, because look, you didn't free it. And I guarantee to you, ladies and gentlemen, that if it falls on hitting a woman in the eye, and you can't free it by finding one sock a woman in the eye, there is an earlier one last year when he socked a woman in the eye, and there is one earlier than that when he socked a woman in the eye. You got the idea? And I don't care if there were 575 times when he socked a woman in the eye, you're going to run them all into that what question. You're not going to put it down any more what's. You're going to run a whole chain. And that chain is going to consist of 100% doing just exactly what you put down, which described a specific overt. Because look, if it only happened that once in this lifetime, it will free on two runs around. And if it doesn't free on two runs around of the when all appear who, if it doesn't free, you got an earlier incident on the chain, which is exactly the same incident. It's not some other incident. It's not kicking somebody in the shins. It's bopping somebody in the eye. That's all there is to it, see? There's nothing more to it than that. You just got to find that earlier one.
Now, true enough, PCs can all be mixed up, and they try to get off this, and they try to get off that, and they dodge this. But you actually can stand in there, because every time you run a when, all, appear, who, you've shaken up that chain a little bit, and he can remember earlier, see? And he all of a sudden will give you an earlier one, and he'll give you an earlier one. That's all in the same what, see? He'll give you an earlier one, pop a woman in the eye, earlier pop a woman in the eye, earlier pop a woman in the eye, earlier. We find this one in kindergarten. He forgot all about it. What you haven't learned is that a chain can't stand there in any one lifetime unless it has a hidden beginning. And it will wash out at once on your when all appear who if it has no hidden beginning. It'll wash. You ask him, when was that? Is that all there is to it? What might have appeared then? Who didn't find out about it? What about popping a woman in the eye? It's your test question. You don't get a quiver? There was only one incident? There is no chain. You get a quiver? You don't get a substantial reduction of that needle read. You've got an earlier incident. And that earlier incident is going to be part of a chain which has its anchor point in the hidden unknown of his forgetfulness. Actually, not really out of his lifetime. And that's the only reason it's stuck. Now, please get the anatomy of how a chain becomes a chain and how it gets stuck in the mind and how it gets charged up. And that is because the first part of the chain is suppressed and forgotten. It is totally out of view. And therefore, you get a chain. And you don't have a chain that will react consistently or go on reacting unless it's a repetitive series of incidents which have the first incident this lifetime out of view. And that makes a chain, and nothing will hang up as a chain unless that is its anatomy. Don't look at it in reverse. You're not putting these engrams in the PC's mind. You might think you are sometimes, but you're not. He's done these things. And it's that earliest line up that is missing. And if you're really running hot as a prep checker, you're running on actual incidents only. Generalities, never. And you're running back down the same chain of the same dramatization. Because remember that dramatization, if only done once, will wash. My God, you've just taken an 8-gauge shotgun and an 88-millimeter anti-tank cannon, put it up against its temples and blown its brains out. I mean, this is no light thing you're doing to this withhold, you see. Well, do you realize that major engrams will key out on the early track by just finding exactly when they occurred? Fella blew up a planet, and right afterwards they put him in a box and squashed him slowly, and then they held him in a trap for 1,000 years, and do you know that on lots of cases you find this engram, you see, and you say, when did it happen? And you date it down to 8,765,955,000, you know, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And all of a sudden goes, tsst. So you're not doing any light thing when you're asking when. And then you're asking him to confide in you all of it. You know what I'm saying? That gets any hidden scraps out of the incident itself. And appear, well, and not appear, that's going to get the suppressor out of the incident, too. And who didn't find out about it? And you can do a whole sec check on not know. You know, not know is one of the most powerful sec check weapons there ever was, because it's the whole constituency of individuation. This fellow knows about it and the rest of the human race doesn't. You got a disagreement on the subject of knowingness. Now, two or three of these, any one of them, well, if you said all about it and then ran it as an engram a few times, it would erase. So any one of these things in the past, any one of that four has been powerful enough to take care of major incidents. And you're leveling all of this, for God's sakes, against one little tiny pebble that's sitting there, you know. Thing is totally capable of sweeping a whole mountain away. So you take this little pebble, you put it up there, and you range the 8,000-ton gravel crusher above it, you see, and then you put 15, 20 sticks of dynamite underneath the thing, saturate it completely in nitroglycerin, you know, wire it up to electrocute it, and then charge it with treason so it can be hung drawn and quartered. And you go back over and you push the master button, and there's a large explosion of one kind or another. You're using all the weapons necessary to shoot down a B-52 to hit a baby sparrow. And there it is. And look, ladies and gentlemen, if it only happened once, one pass through will find no charge on it. But if it happened before, aha, we've got an earlier withhold. That's the only thing that can keep that thing reacting. So we get the earlier withhold. And we get the earlier withhold, and get the earlier withhold. Well, if it's this much of a chain, it must have its tail, like a scorpion's tail, well hooked into the root in the sand, you see? Because, I don't know, this is typical of your recurring withholds. Every time this fellow sits down, he said, well, I had an unkind thought about Ron. See? He goes to the next auditor, had an unkind thought about Ron. You know? Next auditor gets off this withhold, had an unkind thought about Ron. You know? Next auditor had an unkind thought about Ron. Sooner or later, somebody ought to get the idea that he must have done something to Ron at some time or another. Somebody might get that idea. And say, what have you done to Ron? And say, well, he's... I didn't answer a dispatch he sent me once. He say, well, fine, that's good, that's good, that's good, that's fine. What about not answering dispatches from Ron? That auditor was working hard, wasn't he? You could just see the sweat pouring off of him. No, let's not wade so shallowly. Let's find out some blood. And oddly enough, if you search hard for blood, this is another mechanism you should appreciate. If you search very hard for blood, and you want to know about this and so forth, the tininess of what the PC has done very often explodes in the face of a... He didn't do anything like that, you know. I have sat and asked a PC samples just to give them a horrible comparison. So PC saying, well, he's getting a fall on women, see. I'm trying to find out what he's done to a woman or something of the sort, you know. Anything, but I got to have a specific one. Well, have you knifed any women? Have you strangled any for just kicks? Have you thrown any bodies in culverts? Have you stood by and seen a woman raped by four or five people? nothing like that. I lied about one once, and she got a divorce as a consequence, that's all. Oh, you say, well, thank you. Now, let's see, when was that? In other words, we scare it out by order of non-comparable magnitude. Blood running all over the place. You see, and the PC surrenders. Begins to look like a mighty small thing he's done there by comparable magnitude. You get the trick? So anyhow, if you're going to get a chain, the chain is all the same action, and that is what a chain consists of.
And a chain is not a similar generality. A chain is a similar action. In fact, it's not really similar. It's an identical action. That's what makes it a chain. There's a chain of scratching your head on the left side, and there's another chain of scratching your head on the right side. You get the idea? Okay. And on some bruisers, there's a chain of kicking women in the left shin and a chain of kicking them in the right shin. Okay. But ordinarily, we will simply accept kicking a woman in the shin as a chain. And if you find one incident of kicking him in the shin, if there's a lot of earlier overts on the same woman, you'll have a little difficulty erasing it. The incident of kicking him in the shin, unless you go in Q&A with it and get off into Robin Hood's left field and forget to pay the rent and so forth, just kicking him in the shin is going to desensitize, but that woman's name is not going to desensitize. See, or beating her up isn't going to desensitize or something like that, but kicking in the shin, she's going to lose that. All right, now after we've gotten all of the chain up and we've gotten finally his sitting astride the little girl in kindergarten and pounding her repeatedly in the left eye, after we got this one up, which he'd totally forgotten about, you'll find that that whole chain of hitting the woman in the eye is now gone and will erase clear to present time because it's identical actions. And then the PC is feeling so good, and he's all straight, and everything is fine, and way back here, you found kicking a woman in the shin, and you didn't take it up. You then say, what about kicking a woman in the shin now? See, everything is erased, you've got it all fine, he's all straight, and he knows he's level with you and will never have to take up being brutal to the female sex again, and you haul up this dead rat. So what about kicking a woman in the shin? Well, there was such an incident. All right. So you're trying to make sure. You're not writing anything down yet. You're trying to make sure that there is an actual incident. Well, 1952. Josie Ann Marie, I kicked her in the shins. All right. Good. What about kicking women in the shins? See, there's a what question. You haven't changed your 0A. You've gotten rid of that first what question. Now, you're going to find out they not only kicked Josie Ann Marie in the shins in 1952, but there's some earlier instance of this thing occurring, and you're going to get a whole chain going on this thing. But if this thing fell, and then you ran your when, all, appear, who, questions, and ask the question again, and it's gone, there's nothing earlier. Did nothing earlier. Then take a little chapter out of my book and be very careful and ask that what question before you leave it, ask, and then ask if you've missed the withhold of PC, and then don't buy anything he gives you because you're prep checking him. And they say, well, yeah, you missed the fact that I beat up my mother. Well, you don't sail in on this. You're trying to clear up this other chain. You say, all right, well, do I know about it now? I say, thank you very much. All right, now, kicking a woman in the shins. All right. That's very good. All right. Got that settled. All right. N-U-L. No. Now. Now, is there an actual incident of your beating up a mother? I mean, you did beat up your mother. Well, I think I did. Keep that ballpoint out the paper, man. Get an idea of an electric shield getting in between that paper and the ballpoint. Don't you write any what question. Well, I actually didn't beat her up. She beat me up. That's getting to be an awful sure sign, isn't it? Well, all right. We don't do anything with that yet. We don't write a word yet. You say you did beat up somebody. Well, how old were you? About 7? All right, you did beat her up. Yeah, clang, you think. Well, what about beating up your mother? Okay, write your what question, and you'll get a nice chain of it. Last time he beat her up, she was 72. You can run a whole flock of withholes off that what. And I don't care what you write in to refresh your memory or keep yourself picked up. But look over your prep-checking questions. And I look over this, I disconcerted my mother. Not as a what question, if you please. If you please. I just didn't have any incident. You see, it's only after you've got blood that you go down to the one question. There's already blood dripping on the floor at the moment when you go into that. Until that happens, you're in the broad generalities of zeros. And you can call zeros the world generality. And I don't care how many 0A's, 0B's, 0C's, 0D's, I don't care how many zeros you've got sitting out there. You're in the world of generalities. You've not yet found an incident. You're still in the field of assessments. You're still in the field of grope. I don't care what you write up there particularly. But before you leave that area, may I please lay down the law on the subject of don't you dare ever write a what question until you have an actual incident of the PC doing something. And don't ever leave that type of incident until it's freed up. And then you'll stop missing withholds and you'll get the benefit out of prep checking. But you keep wading around in that little duck pond that you think is the PC's reactive bank. You see, here's this little duck pond up here on the beach. And you're going around there, and it's just damp on the bottom, you know. It wouldn't even support a goldfish. And you're wading around there very carefully, and you're being very happy because you found a leaf floating in it. I ask you to look over your shoulder, because as you're wading around in this duck pond, that roaring, screaming, typhoon-ridden, surging, limitless ocean that is just behind you is the reactive bank you should be swimming around in. And I will state that it sometimes looks like that to you, and you think you better not go swimming under those conditions. Sharks darting up in all directions, you see. Typhoons and water spouts coming in from every horizon, you see. Wreckage strewn about, dead bodies, half-eaten women. You know, the thing is untidy. And you say, well, I shouldn't be swimming in there. My mother wouldn't like it. Now, if you're going to get the full benefits out of prep checking, why, you're going to find something the PC did. And then you're going to write a what question based on that something he did. And then you're going to clean up that whole chain before you leave that. Now, this is sometimes hard to do, and sometimes your luck is out. Now, I will add this. Sometimes your luck is out. You hit a chain just like you sometimes hit an engram that wouldn't erase. You'll sometimes hit a chain that just seems to go forever and disappears into the Stygian deep of past lives. It just goes forever. Unfortunately, you probably have hit something related to the goal's problem mass, and it's just going to go forever. But that's no excuse not to run it, because you could still run it all the way, but you might find yourself prep checking the same question for three or four sessions. And sometimes your PC throws you an awful red herring. Now, this is the other lesson I must teach you. The PC goes into control of the session with present time problems
and mist withholds and things of this character in the beginning rudiments. And you've got a nice chain running of some kind from yesterday's session. You walk into today's session, and here are all these damn red fish lying all over the ground. And you try to get into the prep check session, and you can't because you keep slipping on these kippered herrings. Right? So you try to clean up the present time problem or the missed withhold or something of the sort, and you find yourself on an entirely new chain that had nothing to do with yesterday's session. All right, tomorrow you come in. It's now tomorrow. And you come in, and you want to get this question day before yesterday's question and yesterday's question flat. And so you go into the rudiments on this third day, and the PC has an entirely different missed withhold or present time problem, and you find yourself now on a third chain. Now the fourth day of the week comes around, and you try to get into it, and the PC has a present time problem about something else. You now have four chains alive. Nothing settled. And on the fifth day, of course, either you or the PC blow out your brains. You see how the PC moves into control of what is being run. A PC almost does this knowingly. Okay. He's just gotten up to the point where he has to confess that he went to Leavenworth for 5 years for stealing automobiles. He's almost there, you know. And he says, if this just goes any further, this one question that we keep running here about have you ever stolen anything, goes any further, we'll get into that area. He says this reactively. He hardly says it actively at all. That's a present time problem. Those things do then is have a present time problem about your wife, isn't it? Nice and distant from the subject. It's a way to miss withholds, isn't it? It's also a way to steer checking. Now, listen, aside from the fact that you must keep up your PC has to be in session, you do a minimal in sessionness. You do a minimal requirement here of the rudiments. And if it looks like these rudiments are going to throw you over into the next county and onto a new chain, and you've got to finish up yesterday's chain and that sort of thing. Oh, somebody saw me do it in a demonstration one day. You have a present time problem. Clang! Instant reason. All right, what's that? My girlfriend left me last night. We're prep checking, making saddles. See, my girl left me last night. We'll say good. Do you have a present time problem? Goes clang, and you say, well, what's that? Well, it's my girl. She left me last night. You, fellow auditor, standeth there alone on a vast and limitless plain, a solitary intelligence with a large signpost. And on this signpost there are two pointers. And one says right on it, and the other says wrong on it. Now, we know that you cannot run a successful session with a present time problem in full restimulation. We can prove it time and time again that this is the case. And we can also prove that cases blow up and go bluey if you continue to leave prep check questions, what question change, you know, unflat. And the only thing wrong with that right and wrong crossroad sign above your head is, because you're straight under it, you can't read what either one says. Actually, that is the end of the lecture. Because you won't always win. Sometimes you're going to be wrong. Just try to be right as often as possible. Don't be deluded
or dragged out of prep checking by a brand new chain of some kind or another that the PC keeps presenting. Otherwise, you're going to go too far afield. Sometimes it is better to ignore the outrudiment, and sometimes it is fatal to ignore the outrudiment. And that's what I mean. But the best datum I can give you about this, that you'll find the most valuable, is don't use withholds to solve any of your rudiments. Are you withholding anything since yesterday's session? Clang, you know, clang. Now look, since yesterday's session, you remember when we ended the session yesterday, from that time until now, have you done anything that you're withholding? Not a motion. That's it. Good. Because that's the only thing that can louse up your session. That withhold he's given you, if it occurred earlier, also existed in yesterday's session, too, and it didn't get in your road in yesterday's session, so it's not going to get in your road in today's session. And when you do the present time problem, if you have to run it, responsibility or something of that sort, or even unknown, old unknown, one of the older students here commented on to me that possibly could be used in running a present time problem, the old unknown method. And don't try to run it by withholds. Keep withholds out of those rudiments and you'll be all right in a prep checking session. Now a 3D crisscross session, which has its rudiments out, once more you have the same thing, because the PC can continuously throw a 3D crisscross session into a prep check session. And you just don't get any 3D crisscross done. And the rule is, when you're doing 3D crisscross, do 3D crisscross. And when you're doing prep checking, do prep checking. And if you've had consistent trouble with the rudiments, then take off a couple of sessions and do nothing but rudiments. Beginning rudiments, end rudiments. Beginning rudiments, end rudiments. You know, just do nothing but rudiments. Just long, drawn-out propositions. Just bang the rudiments in one way or another. Take them all up and keep your prep checking sessions for prep checking and your 3D crisscross sessions for 3D crisscross. And don't let the PC steer these things without rudiments, because it's been happening. When I see a 3D crisscross session of 2 hours narrowed down to 30 minutes of 3D crisscross and 1.5 hours of trying to get the rudiments straight, well, I say somebody is having trouble. That's what I say. I don't say they're doing wrong or something, but they're certainly having trouble. And I can always say this with great truth. They're going to have far more trouble tomorrow. And if they do it tomorrow, they're going to have 5 times as much trouble that they had today, day after tomorrow. And if they do it a third day, they're not going to have any PC at all. Because it comes under the heading of no auditing. PC sitting there quivering, you know, he's got to get that item. He's quivering, you know, and you start prep checking them. It comes under the heading of no auditing. And the more you try to put the rudiments in, the further you go out. The longer it takes to do and get a 3D crisscross item, the more difficult it is to get. The third day is the borderline. You go over to the fourth day, and you're in trouble. And you'll be in trouble from there on out. If you go 4 days trying to get a 3D crisscross item at 2-hour sessions per day, I can guarantee you won't get it on the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, or 15th day. You've thrown the PC out of session by just not delivering an item. The longer it takes, the harder it is to get. When you're real slippy, you get one per session. Ah, that's really Moten. One per session. Pop it, pop it, pop it, pop. You won't get in any trouble in one per session. You actually won't get in any real trouble one every 2 sessions. That's pretty easy. Now you're getting, that's awful easy, one every two sessions. One every three sessions, well, I know, you'd have to spend half your time sound asleep in the auditor's chair to do it that slow. But from there on, in actual fact, you're not going to get anything. See, the rudiments are going to go further and further out. Now, I've handled the PC this way with some success. The PC says, all right, I've had problems, I missed with Hall and so forth, and I'm all ARC broke, I'm very upset with you, and so forth. I've said, good, we happen to be doing a 3D crisscross session, and I'm going to get a list here, and we're going to carry on with this. How is that with you? PC says, oh, you are? And I say, yes, that's right, that's what we're going to do. The PC said, well, that's fine. In actual fact, if I at that moment asked the PC, do you have a present time problem, do you have a withhold, do you have anything else, I wouldn't have anything at all. I'd have a blank meter. See what the mystery of it is? As I've said very forcefully, all right, now we're going to give you some auditing. The PC then drops all of his excuses why he shouldn't have any. You see, there's more to this than simply the crude slug. I have been known to make some rather interesting remarks in sessions. On some of these, you would have held your breath. But the funny part of it is, the PC never seems to get ARC broke. You saw me make a funny remark last night, didn't you? I said, come on now, how are you getting these things? Well, that's for the birds. Get them some other way. So I said, well, sure that at ARC break the PC. I asked for one right afterwards, and I didn't have any reading. Did you notice that? PC thought that was perfectly reasonable. Because if you're being truthful and factual, you can never at ARC break the PC. It doesn't matter how mean or cross or otherwise you sound. I've boxed with a PC sometimes for 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, trying to get him to get uncoy on the subject of withhold, and finally said, God damn it, listen here. There you are, here I am. I can sit here all night. Can you? Because we're going to until you tell me. Funny part of this, PC doesn't ARC break. Maybe never warranted. Maybe that type of approach never does any good at all. You understand? It keeps me from doing a withhold. Thank you. Take a break.